warmest of greetings to you, and welcome to Happily Ever Teaching, where we help you enthrall your learners in every subject under the sun using the best teaching method known to science, storytelling. To do this, we feature special guest educators who are passionately keen for your children to become amazing and successful human beings. I am storyteller Chip Cahoon, and with me this week is...
Hello, I'm Abby Marison. I am one of the education program managers for Festival Bridge, and I have 10 years under my belt as teaching in a primary school.
Hi, I'm Rob. I'm currently teaching year 4 class in Milton Keynes, but I've worked in every key stage, key stage 2 downwards.
And today we are exploring design and technology learning outcomes with this week's folktale from Taiwan. You can listen to the story by downloading our sister podcast, Fables and Fairy Tales, or search our website, epictales.co.uk, for No Tigers on the Table. There you'll find a video of me telling the story that you can share with your children. And if you sign up as an Epic Educator, you'll also get a copy as an ebook or paperback illustrated by the marvellous Mario Coelho, the full audiobook for you to download at any time, and even some tips for telling the story yourself. Right now, though, let's continue our discussion with Abby and Rob here. And at the end of yesterday's discussion, Abby, you kind of took us right into Mr. Chen's workshop, which would be a fantastic place to do some design and technology, right?
That's where we're going to start. We are going to start in Mr. Chen's workshop that we designed yesterday as our role play area. But we also had to talk health and safety because he's got a lot of sharp tools and it's not the safest place to be if you're going to be a carpenter. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite a real life carpenter into the school. COVID restrictions hopefully allowing. If not, they're going to Zoom in and then talk to us about their tools. They're going to show us their tools. They're going to tell us the names of them and tell us what they use them for. They're going to point out the things in their classroom that a carpenter actually will have created and made so that they can see this is a real job. This is a job that you have to have specific skills for, so they can then talk about the importance of measuring and measuring again and measuring again. And I know from my husband doing DIY that that's the most important thing. His granddad is a carpenter, and the thing that he will say time and time again, you measure and measure and measure before you make anything. It's the most important thing. So giving those young people the understanding of a creative career, but the importance of getting their skills right for careers that they may go into. So yeah, having the carpenter and learning about that before they then go into doing something themselves. So once they've learnt the real life, these are tools, these are real things, these are sharp, and you've set your boundaries and made that really clear, you're then going to do what one of my colleagues did when I was teaching in early years. And she was the nursery teacher, and she got real saws out and did sawing with the young people. And I remember being horrified because, as you'll know from my Chinese zodiac, I'm very cautious. I'm really cautious and a very nervous teacher. And she did all the risk assessment and said, yeah, I'm going to teach young people how to saw wood with a real saw. And it was fascinating to watch the fact they were given real tools, taught how to use them, just like you do with forest schools. You teach the danger, you get them to notice the danger, and then you get them to really do it so that they feel like, I'm trusted with this, but I've really learned that if I do put my hand or don't pay attention under that saw, I'm going to cut a finger off. So not creating a red boat or a white chair or anything like that, because actually that's just not where they are at in early years in key stage one, but learning to use the tools. Just to test it, just to use a tool to do a tiny bit of carving into a block of wood, or to saw a little bit so that they can feel what it's like to use the real tools. It's very authentic. But
it's so valuable as well, because I can remember getting to secondary school and never having really used a saw before. And
until you get into the woodwork lesson, and then all of a sudden you are.
It's not intuitive at all, is it? Yeah. Because you kind of think of it like a knife the first time you try to use it, and then it literally doesn't work. It gets stuck. You have to just move it forwards and backwards, and it cuts through wood like butter. So yeah, it's kind of making sure that your children are set up with skills for life.
Yeah. That's completely it. And, you know, hopefully young boys and girls will encounter DIY in their own households at some point. They need to be taught how to use things safely. And that's all part of the D&T curriculum and making sure that they understand that these things can be dangerous and this is how to use them properly. So a great place to start and a lovely way to enter into that by being in this workshop and thinking, this is a real job. This is a real, I'm doing something not because it's part of what I'm learning about. The story is, it just makes it all come alive, which is the best kind of teaching, I think.
Yeah. Well, as Bex and Helen were saying on this very podcast a couple of weeks ago, you know, it's about making sure that things have purpose. That's when things really not just come alive, but also become memorable. That's why stories work so well.
Yeah. And what I might do is following on from the visit from the carpenter, is if you can, particularly for your art, your D&T curriculum, if you can follow that up with a visit from someone who is a sculptor as a profession, that would be amazing because they can then see, okay, woodwork can be practical. It can be making banisters. It can be making bunk beds, but it can be, I'm just looking around what's around me. Yeah. But it also can be to make art and to make sculpture and to make something beautiful that can be sold and appreciated and enjoyed. And if you can have that on the back, that's another creative career. And then the young people can see, well, I'm learning how to saw because I might need to cut something to make something, but I'm also doing it because I might want to create something beautiful. And it's giving them that range of, we learn these skills for a reason again.
Yeah. And that can link back to the story quite nicely because, of course, as we find out at the end of the story, in Sinkang and all around Taiwan, you have these little tiger statues on your table. And that is sculpture right there.
Oh, well, so can you get stage two children to make some tiger sculptures?
If you can't find a sculptor, then maybe you could get online and order one of those tiger statues in or get one of the other classes or a willing teacher to do it. I was wondering, actually, thinking of that point, you mentioned a carpenter as a profession, but if it was a particular struggle or you're still in lockdown or something, is this something your school caretaker might be able to help with? Because wouldn't they have many of the same tools, be doing many of the same things that, well, Mr. Chen at the end of this story, he ends up helping to fix people's houses.
Oh, he does.
It's kind of in the repertoire of your caretaker to be able to do this sort of thing?
Our current site manager probably wouldn't, but the site manager at the last school that I worked at would definitely have had the tools and would have been fixing things and mending things. And
absolutely. I've certainly had site managers who have the various and wonderful world of being able to turn their hands to almost anything, including helping me with a lot of role play areas and displays. So coming back to that, I think that much more than carpentry skills, they were having to get the ladders up and help me with the different role play areas that I had to hang from various places. So yeah, worth an ask. You never know what you've got in your parent community or staff community. And also, because we were talking about art and D&T, I've just done a simple internet search of different tiger sculptures, and my colleagues can see quite a scary wooden tiger.
Oh, wow.
With just lots of teeth, and it's all made from wood, but it's been painted. And that was the first thing that came up, and it's a sculpture gallery. And actually, he's charging £220 for that, so it's not a bad career to go into.
Not at all.
So actually, just, you know, you could really simply talk to your young people about the fact that you can make a career out of making wooden tigers.
Because there are people who do want them. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot out there I'm just seeing.
Well, as we get closer to the age you start thinking about careers and things, the 7 to 11 age range, Rob, where would you go with DT in this story?
DT in this story, I would stick to the story. I would immerse the children in the story and say, we've got a brief. Here, the brief is, we need to make a table that is tall enough the grandchildren can't put their shoes on it, and the dog can't sit on the table. Mm-hmm. So go through the design and the technology. So you've got to create a design of this table. You've got to think about what materials you're going to use. You've got to think about how you're going to make it. You've got to think about how you're going to join the different materials together. Mm-hmm. The school that I work at currently has got wood benches all the way from foundation up. So the children in our school are quite happy using saws, hammers, nails, screwdrivers, the whole lot. So they would relish the opportunity to have a go at create, but rather, and again, it's developing from what Abby said, just having a go at using the skills, but applying them to the purpose as well. Mm. Whilst we were talking, I was thinking about making everyday things taller. And I was thinking of a story by a well-known British author, whether a walking stick of a lady gets taller by a small amount each day. And she thinks, am I going mad or is my walking stick getting taller?
I don't know this one.
You definitely do.
Do I?
Yeah. The twits.
Oh, yes, of course. It's so, when you describe them as if they're ordinary
good
people.
Link.
Yeah, so that just came to me. But yeah, so again, past to the design technology, going back to creating a table that's tall enough, is you've got to evaluate it at the end as well. You've got to say, okay, well, this bit worked well because, or I'm happy with this design, or this could have been worked differently, or I could have used...
Oh, please tell me you're testing it by Mr. Small having to sit on it and make sure it's strong enough to hold you. That would be a great science experiment.
Or letting loads of water rush through your classroom and see if it gets knocked over.
I'm not sure what the site manager would say.
Yes.
I was wondering, because you mentioned having a design brief to build a table, but in the story, it's actually adapting an existing table is exactly what he does. Mm. And that's actually even more of a challenge in a way, because he's not making the legs entirely from scratch. He is literally doing what Mr. Twit was doing to extend the walking stick. He's finding ways to add to the bottom of it. That could be quite a fun challenge as well. So combining everything that you just said there, getting to make one of the classroom tables taller.
And when the carpenter's in visiting the younger children, they can then come and visit Key Stage 2 with a table that they've created and show them all of the tools that you use to make particular different designs on a table leg and all of those kind of things.
Absolutely. You're gonna all be doing lessons really close to the ceiling from now on.
But surely we could take the ceiling off as well, couldn't we? And then
we could just have the tools for it.
Yeah.
Just make sure you also make that giant parasol as well.
Yeah.
I think there's a nice outdoor learning thing that you could do there that you could make it permanent. You could say our design brief is to have something that's waterproof made of wood to live outside, because I can think of a school that I worked in where they had a storytelling chair and it was a giant wooden chair. Yeah. But it's for the young people that then they can sit on to read stories during different playtimes. But actually having a table that's safe enough, and again going back to when we said about risk assessment, but it's safe enough to climb on, stand on, play on. But maybe you get someone that you ask, again going back to our visitor, if you're asking them to come in to do some work with the children, why not get them to really make something while they're there that the young people
make
can
something
watch
lasting.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Just sent a tender out now for a sculptor to come and create a table for an outdoor area.
Yeah, with chairs that have ladders down the side.
Yeah. How lovely. If we had infinite budgets, that's what we'd do.
That is sadly all we have time for today, folks. If you try out any of these ideas, or if you'd like us to help you teach a topic you are soon to cover with your young learners, please let us know on social media using @teachhappily, or leave us a review using your favourite podcast app. Please also share this podcast with your colleagues and help us start a story-led revolution in classrooms around the world, so children everywhere can learn in a way that's effective, memorable and enjoyable all at the same time. Tomorrow, the village of Sinkang will help us teach geography. But right now, it only remains for us to say cheerio, and we hope to hear your story soon. So,
cheerio!
And we hope to hear your story soon.